Greetings, brothers and sisters. It's really a blessing to be with you again. And thank you for all of your lovely messages in the side. It's just always a pleasure to be with believers around the world. And today, during the morning and evening sacrifice time, I had opportunity to pray this afternoon. My wife and I prayed together, and it was a real blessing. And this afternoon I was able to work outside, and the sky was perfectly blue, and to look up into the heavens and to think that soon we will, as the song says, far beyond the sun, we will be with our Father and his only begotten Son. I was greatly blessed by your responses to the presentation last night. My last night, your daytime or morning, and I made a comment about the identity, gaining our identity by going through the Red Sea. And of course, our identity is spoken at the baptism. And of course, going through the Red Sea is a baptism. Laurel mentioned that to me today, and I thought that was really a really good connection. So tonight or today, we are speaking about the word of blessing. So I'm going to kneel and I'm going to offer a word of prayer. Father, I thank you that as your children, we can come before you and you welcome us with open arms. We come in the name of Jesus, your Son. And through Jesus, we know we have access to you, for there is no other way to the Father except through the Son. And Father, we worship you and your beautiful character, and we thank you that you have called us to be your children, and that we are indeed your children, created by you. And we have somewhat of an understanding of our destiny to live forever with God and the Lamb, and to praise our Father day and night before the throne of God, and to tell the nations, to tell the unfallen worlds of how we have been redeemed and what joy we possess to have been taken from this dark world and translated into the kingdom of the dear Son of God. Father, we cling to your assurances. We hold on to your word, because your word is full of promise. Your word is everything to us, and your word is embodied in the person of your Son, the Word of God. And I pray now that as we continue to study and reflect and pray for your Spirit, that you would enlighten our minds and you would teach us, that we may draw closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the whole principle of identity, it comes from the words spoken to Jesus at his baptism. Matthew 3:17, we should know this quite well, where the heavens opened and the form of a dove, which Ellen White says is a symbol of Jesus, descended upon Christ, and the word was heard, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I delight." And these words are words of blessing. These words are life. And these words transmit value, identity. It's in the word itself. And so, with that thought in mind, I want to take you to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 63. I just want us to think about this verse, connecting word and spirit. It is the spirit that quickens or makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. How is it that the word that Jesus speaks to us is spirit? The word in Greek is pneuma. The words that he speaks are spirit and life. In the very word that is spoken, there is the spirit of the living God, and there is life. And of course, if you hold a mirror up to your mouth when you speak, there is breath and there is water. And so with the word is carried on wind, which is a symbol of the spirit, and water, which is also a symbol of the spirit. So when the Father spoke the words, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I delight," in that word was spirit. And we see that in the dove, the Spirit of God, the word came down upon Jesus, and to Christ it was spirit and life to him. And we want to hang on to this point, because many people have this understanding that God possesses this element called life. It's in a little box or a big box, and he controls it and he owns it. But notice the words of Jesus that he spoke to Martha. It's in John 11, and let's go to John 11. John chapter 11, and Jesus says in verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Jesus doesn't say, I have that ingredient. I own the ingredient called life. I have life. No, I am life. And why is Jesus life? We want to think about this. Because the Father spoke life to him when he said, "You are my beloved Son." Now, in the beginning of the book, Life Matters, and I'll just get the book. I think I have it. Yes, I have an older copy here. In the book, Life Matters, I want to read you something in the very beginning of the book. And it talks about in the first at the end of the first chapter, and I make the point, how do we build a value system in society that will enhance family relationships? And then at the end of this paragraph, I said, I believe there is one main ingredient we need to consider that immediately brings two other ingredients: life or power source. Life, physical, mental, and spiritual. This is the essence of being. Where does life come from? How do we engage it? How do we live a life that is full and meaningful? And then the secondary ingredients, relationships, the very nature of birth and infancy demands that people engage in some form of relationship. In our human existence, life is conceived via relationships. We also see that the drive for relationships and intimacy, due to the great aversion most people have to being alone, life without intimacy is empty. And just on this point, if you are alone, if you have no one to love or be loved by, do you actually have life? You have existence, but do you have life? Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly. So existence is not life. Existence is, well, you have perception, you have awareness, you have self-awareness, but this is not life. Life is always connected to blessing. And the next point I make here in Life Matters is the ingredient of value. A healthy self-concept, a sense of purpose and destiny. Without this sense of purpose, life becomes meaningless, and the desire to preserve it is destroyed. Life without value is meaningless, which means life, existence without value is worth nothing. And therefore, it is not actually life. It is existence. Satan speaks to us of existence and justifying our existence. But God speaks to us in terms of life. And all life begins with blessing, which conveys value, and therefore your existence springs to life through the blessing. This is a critical principle for the Father of Love movement. Existence is transformed into life through the blessing and the conveying of value. Now, I want to share something with you. And it's in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10. It's one of my favorite stories. I have many favorite stories. And it's the story of Jesus blessing the children. And it says, this is Mark 10, and starting from verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. It's one of two times that Jesus becomes very unhappy. And he says to them, "Suffer or allow the little children to come to me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." So here we see in Jesus touching the children and blessing the children, we see the kingdom of God. This is how life is created. It's through the blessing. And I hope that you'll perceive by the Spirit what I'm saying to you, that what life really is. And he says in verse 15, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." So, what is it that allows the children to enter into the kingdom? Notice the next verse. This is how we enter the kingdom of God. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. This is how we enter the kingdom of God. This is how we receive life. And as Jesus says to us in John 7:37, he says, "In the last day, the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" So, what does it mean to believe on Jesus? It means to believe that he is the only begotten Son. It is to believe that God said to his Son, "You are my beloved Son in whom I delight." This is how life was created. And if you are paying attention, once again, I am challenging the very foundation of Trinitarianism. In Trinitarianism, life is an entity in itself. Life is a commodity. Life is something that God controls and owns. This is a Trinitarian concept. But what I'm saying to you is that life is a relational concept that is transferred through the spoken word. See the difference? God gave life to his Son. As the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself. The Father has life because he is full of agape. He is a giver He is one that loves to bestow life upon all. And so, thank you, Malcolm. Just, it says, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. Thank you, brother. That's beautiful. Life evermore. This is a great underscoring of the point I am making. The Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. I'm going to remember that verse in this context. And here we see this transition from a commodity-based understanding of life to a relational concept of life, from an inherent concept of life to an inheritance concept of life, from a performance concept of life to a relational concept of life. This is really important. So Jesus took the children up into his arms, placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. The question I ask is, where did Jesus learn to do this? Who taught him to do this? Come to John chapter 5 and verse 19. John 5 and verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So, when Jesus took the children up into his arms and he blessed them, this is because this is what he saw the Father do with him. Jesus is manifesting the kingdom of God. And how do we know that Jesus was taken up in the Father's arms and blessed? Well, come to Proverbs chapter 8 and we read in Proverbs 8 and verse 30, it says, and I'll leave out the supplied words, I will just give you the literal translation. And I'm reading in the King James because it gives the translation I believe is most correct. Then I was by him one brought up, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Now that word one brought up, if you look more deeply into the Hebrew, there's two schools of thought on the meaning of this. One is that he is a craftsman or a foreman, but the other is the meaning is one brought up, a fondling, or the Hebrew means to be bounced on the knee, to be. The word is dandled in English. And so Jesus was placed on the knees of the Father, and the Father touched him and blessed him. Another way to think of this is in the divine pattern. In Christ coming to this world, Christ makes visible the invisible. As the spirit of prophecy tells us, Christ became the Son of God in a new sense. He was the Son of God in eternity, and he became the Son of God in the flesh to make manifest that which had occurred in the beginning. So when it says in the book of John that Jesus increased in stature and in wisdom and in favor with God and man, this is what happened in eternity. Christ was taught everything that he knows by his Father. And I talk about this in detail in Divine Risk, where I go through this particular point. And it's something very precious to me that my Savior was placed on his Father's knees. The Father embraced him and kissed him and said, "You, Son, are so precious to me." And here is the transfer of life. The Father, his agape, manifested itself in the words that he spoke. And what he spoke brought forth life in the person of Jesus. The Father's word is seed. The Father's word is spirit. And in doing this for his Son, he laid the foundations of the entire universe, that we all should drink of the fountain that is coming out of the belly of Jesus Christ. For life is in him through the blessing. Do you capture this principle? It is completely opposed to everything that we were taught in Christianity. It turns the thing completely on its head. Life comes through blessing, and Christ is the blessed Son, and that is what gives him life. And again, thank you, Malcolm, for that text in Psalms 133. The Lord has commanded the blessing, even life evermore. This is where the life comes from. Very precious indeed. And so, what Christ did with the children in taking them in his arms and blessing them, he was simply doing what his Father did with him in eternity. And he is manifesting the kingdom of God. Of course, when we read Mark chapter 10, it says that the disciples tried to push the children away. They were just little children. They, in terms of inherent quality, they weren't very intelligent. They didn't possess much knowledge. They were short. They didn't have much strength or power like older men did. So they were of little value in the eyes of the disciples. They didn't understand the principle of God's kingdom. And that's why Jesus was much displeased. And we all have been transitioning into or being translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so this movement that we are engaged in is based on a principle of blessing. And now another critical point. In order to receive the blessing, the one who receives it must have faith in the words that are spoken. Jesus says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life, but only for those who believe. For without faith, it is impossible to please God." And so, when we consider Hebrews chapter 12, and many of you will be familiar with this, but we see in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. The word our faith or our is supplied. So Jesus is not just the author of our faith, he is the author of faith. Which to be the author of faith, he had to have faith in someone greater than himself. Adam's written another text, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Connects the commandments, the law of God, with the way of life. Thank you, Adam. In your presence there is fullness of joy. Daily I was his delight, rejoicing always before him. And so, I'm just trying to remember the point I was trying to make. That's right, faith. Jesus is the author of faith. And because he is begotten of the Father and has received everything from the Father, he then is in a position to be blessed by the Father. This is very important to understand that Jesus is the blessed Son. But you can only be blessed when you acknowledge someone greater than yourself. You cannot be blessed by someone equal to you. They cannot bless you. They can praise you. They can admonish you. But they cannot bless you in the sense of giving life. And this is the great tragedy, one of many great tragedies of the Trinity. In the Trinity, the Father cannot actually bless the Son because the Son has life from himself. It's a commodity that he possesses exactly the same as the Father. Therefore, the Father doesn't give life to the Son, even though the book of John says, as the Father has life in himself. So he has given to the Son to have life in himself. And so we see that in the belief of the begotten Son is the foundation of the ability to be blessed and is the foundation of the true principles of faith. I hope that you grasp the significance of those statements. The begotten Son is the basis of being blessed, for he said, My father is greater than I. Yes, he is equal with the Father because the Father made him so. But the Father is greater than the Son in that he is the source of all, the great source of all. And this in no way diminishes the value of the Son, because value doesn't come from what you possess in yourself. In God's kingdom, value comes through the blessing. You are my beloved Son, in whom I delight. So, in the begotten Son, understanding, if you grasp this correctly, you should begin to see in such a community the principle of blessing. Blessing and the begotten Son always go together, because Jesus has life through the blessing. The Father spoke and the Son received this blessing. And that is why this movement is a movement of blessing. And to speak to the children of God, and that the words that are spoken, you are my beloved Son, are spirit and life. Out of our bellies can flow rivers of living water. And that living water is in the words, you are a beloved child of the Father, precious to him and highly valuable, more valuable than many sparrows. This is the transfer of life. This is the transfer of blessing. And it's a point of interest for me that as I thought about these things, that and how Jesus blessed the children, I thought, well, Father, should I be doing this? And many of you know the story of how I invited children to come forward and to speak words of blessing over them. And I began to observe that the power of the words that I spoke in blessing, the power depended on two things. One was the faith of the person listening to what I said. If a person said, oh, that Adrian fellow, he's such a loser, my words have no power for such a person. I don't know about him. He really has a few cogs loose in his head. Maybe I do, but I know that I'm loved of my Father, and therefore I have life in myself from my Father, as like Jesus, and therefore out of my belly flows rivers of living water. And for those who believe and receive this word, they receive the word of their Father through Christ, through myself as a channel of that light. And they hear the word of their Father, you are my beloved child, in whom I delight. And life comes into the soul. We transfer from existence to life. To use the two Greek words, temporal life in Greek is called psuche, whereas life spring is zoe. He that would save his life, his psuche, will lose it. But he that is willing to lose his psuche, his temporal life, shall gain life, Zoe, everlasting. And so we transfer from Suke to Zoe through the blessing. This is how it comes to us. And it comes to us through the Son of God. He's the only one in the universe that has this. The Father gave it to him. He was the only one in eternity that he sat on his knees. He took a part of himself and brought forth his Son and kissed him and blessed him. And that is why Christ has life in himself. And he shares it with us. As Paul says, in him all things hold together. In him is life. And the life was the light of men. John 1 verse 9, or somewhere in there. So, the word of blessing. This is how we will preach the gospel. I hope you're tracking. I have come from a lineage of Adventist understanding of the great evangelist with his great chart, delineating the time prophecies, exposing the papacy, a deep Bible student with great knowledge and understanding, and can stand before thousands of people and preach the word. And this was my understanding of the gospel. But now my understanding of the gospel has changed. And I don't want to denigrate what I used to understand, except that there wasn't life in what I was taught before. There is life in the blessing. And of course, there is teaching. We are doing teaching now to set up this principle. But if we come into the kingdom of God, if we allow ourselves to be taken up into the arms of Jesus and for him to touch us and say, the Father loves you, you are precious to him, then we have life in ourselves. So that we can then bless, and as we see our Savior do, who does what his Father does, then we too will do these things, and we will bless those who recognize the Spirit in us and that see that we are channels of blessing. And we will invite the children forward. And unless you become as little children, so that means all of us, to receive the word, you are my beloved son, and to accept this by faith, and then life comes into the soul. I have done this with many of you in different parts of the world, particularly at the festivals and the Sabbath. And here is the second component of the blessing, because it was on the seventh day that God rested from all his works and from all that he had created and made. And I would suggest to you that on the Sabbath, God did create something. He created identity. He made Adam and Eve on the sixth day, and on the seventh day, he blessed them and said, You are my beloved children, in whom I delight. Christ passed on to Adam and Eve the life that he had received from his Father. You are my beloved Son, in whom I delight. And this then was given to Adam and Eve, so that the bodies that they had received on Friday were now filled with an identity that they received on the Sabbath. And we see this in the order of creation. On day one, God created light. He formed a space. And then on day four, he filled that space with sun, moon, and stars. On the second day, he created the firmament and separated air from water. On the fifth day, he filled those spaces of the air with the birds and the water with the fish. On the third day, he separated the dry land and he made the earth. And then on the sixth day, he filled the earth with animals and man himself. So we see this principle of creating a space and then filling it. And I would suggest to you that God created the body and psyche of man on the Friday, and on the Sabbath, he filled that space with identity and value. And so the Sabbath is connected to the giving of identity, the giving of the blessing. And this is why on the Sabbath is the best time to transfer identity, the Sabbath and the festivals. And this is what has been part of our movement. And I have sometimes, when I have conducted a blessing and invited families forwards and laying hands on people, I have felt so much heat in the transfer of the blessing that I begin to sweat. I have felt really warm. There is an energy, a life that has been transferred in the word that is spoken. And again, thank you, Adam, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. We were not only physically made by the breath of the Lord's mouth, we received identity by the word of the Lord. You are my beloved child. I hope that these thoughts are penetrating your mind. We are not just flesh and bone. We are children of the Most High God. That is our identity. That is our destiny. And in the intimacy that we have in that relationship, we have life. And when we have that life, we are able to transfer it to our wives, our children, and all of those that recognize our ministry, whatever ministry that may be. We can then pass on that blessing to others, and rivers of living water will flow out of us when we speak these words. And as I have said in the past, only a blessed person can bless. If you haven't been blessed, if you haven't been sat upon Christ's knee, if you haven't been embraced by him and kissed by him through the Spirit and heard his words, "You are my beloved child," you can't give this to anyone because you have not received it. You cannot give something you have not received. But unless you become as little children, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So I pray that if you have not, that you will allow yourself to be taken up into the arms of Jesus, to be touched by him through the Spirit, and believe the words, "You are my beloved child." We have been presenting this for several years now, and it has come to us in the form of the early rain. And again, I would refer to the text that Malcolm quoted. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. You are my beloved son. It is the blessing. It is life-giving. This is the early rain. And when we nurture that seed, it does not appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And so, in order for us to receive the outpouring, the manifestation of the Spirit, we need the seed, or the early rain of the Spirit, that we know that we are sons and daughters of God. If you don't have that seed, all the water in the universe can come down, but nothing will grow. Nothing will be blessed. You must believe this. And in believing this, you will have life, because life comes through blessing. And it is the words that our Father has spoken that bless us. I'm praying that our Father will impress this upon you, that you will see how deeply laid is the foundation of this message, how it all connects together. Without the begotten Son, there is no blessing. Without the begotten Son, there is no faith. The words that Jesus speaks, they are spirit and they are life, because spirit and life come through the word that is spoken. And the word that was spoken in the beginning was, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I delight." I pray that our Father will bless these thoughts in your mind, that you will begin to see that the kingdom of God is so very different to what we have been taught. So let us speak blessing. Husbands, love your wives. Encourage them, speak words of blessing over them. Tell them that the Father loves them and that you love them and that they are precious to you. And of course, your children, fathers and mothers, tell your children that they are precious. If you only tell them they're precious when they do everything exactly, perfectly, correctly, then that is an abuse of power. We need to tell children we love them even when they do wrong, because if our love for them is based upon their behavior, then we do not love them with agape. We love them with eros. We love them only when they please us. And this is not the love of God. And let us, those who are pastors and elders and teachers, let us bless our congregations and students and tell them that they are loved of the Father. This is how life is passed from source to channel, source to channel. This is how the gospel is preached. As Ellen White says, One well-ordered, one disciplined family speaks more on behalf of Christianity than all the sermons that can be preached. We often refer to ourselves as family, and if we are well-ordered and well-disciplined, meaning that we walk in the divine pattern, we recognize the elders of our movement, we honor them and respect them, and that the elders recognize their duty to bless, to encourage, not to condemn, for our Father condemns no one. Jesus says, "I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world." And in recognizing this principle of blessing, we are entering into a completely different understanding of the gospel and life and value. So as we move towards tabernacles, wherever you are, I pray that the blessing will manifest itself in your communion, in your community, that the elders amongst us will lay hands on families and children and will bless them. But in order for you to do this, you must receive the blessing. And so as we close, I would like to pray a prayer for you all and to bless you in Jesus' name. Let us kneel and pray together. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you that we can call you Father. I thank you that through Jesus, the only begotten Son, we have inherited the blessing. And Father, the word that you spoke to your Son in the very beginning, I pray through the Spirit you would speak to your children now, for all of my brothers and sisters who are listening to my words. I pray they be your words, words of life, words of blessing, and that we all will take hold of the truth. You are my beloved child, in whom I delight. The spirit of prophecy confirms it in Desire of Ages, page 113. The word which was spoken to Christ is spoken to every one of us. You are my beloved child, in whom I delight. Father, we want to submit ourselves fully to you and with the faith of Jesus, take hold of your promise and to believe it and to believe every word of God. For in every promise is your blessing. And the word says to us, "My God shall supply all your need." This is life and blessing in the word itself. It is a transfer of life. My God shall supply all your need. Father, we take hold of this because many of us are in great need. Many of us are struggling. Many of us are finding the way hard. You have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. In these words are life, for they are the word of God to us. I embrace them, and I pray my brothers and sisters will do the same. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Father, we receive your words. They are life, they are spirit, and we thank you that through Jesus they become reality for us by faith. Thank you for hearing this prayer. Bless us as we continue to pray, and may we enter, may we become little children and enter into the kingdom of blessing and to receive life evermore. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, everyone. It was a great joy to be with you. I'm already looking forward to tomorrow and what my Father instructs me to tell you. I know that he will. Have a blessed day if your day is beginning. For those of us ready to sleep, I pray you have a blessed night. God bless for now, and we'll catch you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, let all inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, blow ye the trumpet in